Story Publishing presents Tomorrow's Plan. Oliver Bennett lay on his narrow mattress, a makeshift fortress of pillows bracing his bandaged leg, while the early summer sun pressed through thin curtains. At his feet, a scattered garrison of sketchbooks, penciled margins worn slick, and a chipped ruler, rescued from beneath the radiator just last week. Somewhere behind his closed door, his mother called, "Keep that cast propped, Oliver." Her voice fading into the low hum of kitchen routines. A flicker of resentment passed through him. First morning of summer break, yet he was marooned in his bedroom, the world just out of reach. He eased himself up, wincing, and turned his gaze to the open window. Below, the street shimmered, a palimpsest of sunlit asphalt patched a month back, still faintly slick from dawn rain. On a normal summer day, he'd have been the first to push the door open and hobble out. After stray cats, after the latest rumor. But with the cast, everything was off limits. Breaking his leg the same hour school let out, cosmic joke or punishment, he couldn't decide. His parents had tried to make the room cozy. Dust motes drifted past the battered dresser where a tarnished baseball trophy tipped sideways from neglect. Oliver had played just long enough for a season and a half's quiet disappointment and an unshakable suspicion. Some kids just weren't made for sports. The cast only confirmed it. The room always seemed to carry a faint scent of ancient blankets and library books, although the window let in a wisp of cut grass. He opened his latest sketchbook. Collisions of shape and line sprawled across the page, half-invented contraptions designed with a single private goal, draw friends near. He had labeled these hopeful oddities friend magnets, a joke that pinched. If invention could mend bones, he'd have built that first. Instead, he'd drawn pulleys, cable webs, miniature towers, a whole arsenal for luring company beneath his window, maybe to keep them there until he chose otherwise. Tap. His pencil rapped out a nervous rhythm along the page. "If only," he muttered. A creak in the hall brought the soft undertow of parental murmurs. Should he have a cold pack yet, or maybe a snack? Their conversation washed away in the whoosh of the air conditioner. Oliver brushed grit from the windowsill and peered through the screen's ragged porthole. The block was quiet, save for the low, mechanical whine of an old pickup and a dog's fitful bark. Beyond the chain-link fence, Mara Coleman balanced herself on a wide, battered oak limb. She stood tall even among the leaves, wiry and sure-footed, her copper hair streaming as she swayed. She moved like she owned every branch. Oliver watched, half wishing she'd leap straight to the lawn, half certain she just might. Farther down, Theo Pappas hunched in the sun, tweaking a hulking, improvised trebuchet. Last summer, it was water balloons. Now, by the looks of it, the projectiles had grown, as had the risk. Theo's scowl deepened by the minute, arms crossed until a sudden thought hurled him into motion. His inventions existed outside of diagrams, always kinetic, sometimes catastrophic. Oliver's own ingenuity felt anemic by comparison. Still, he allowed himself a rueful smile. Nearer the street, Ava Morales drifted past, carrying a plastic bag stretched tight. She paused at each yard, towing the curb with practiced uncertainty. She was the quiet type, always trailing either battered rollerblades or her ever-present camera. If they met face to face, maybe she'd say something gentle, eyes down. Oliver doubted the others noticed how she orbited. Not that he was any less invisible. The doorknob twitched, his father leaned in. "How's that leg, champ?" The forced cheer curdled at the edges. "It's fine," Oliver said, eyes on the window. "Need anything? Food or..." "I'm okay." A pause. "All right then, don't overdo it." The door clicked shut. Oliver exhaled, tracing a thumb over his friend magnet designs. Pulleys, nets, a cartoonish magnet labeled "Guaranteed to Attract." Most were childish, but so was the ache behind his sketches. All inventions, he was sure, started as daydreams in empty rooms. Someone had said that once, he chose to believe them. A metallic chime from the vent. The air conditioner coughed and filled the room. Outside, the sun sharpened, painting lawns a punishing green. Mara dropped from her branch, catching a hanging rope and landing easy. Theo adjusted his mechanism, a shield ready to take whatever he'd decided to hurl. Ava disappeared behind a thicket of hydrangea, trailing her shadow. Oliver's stomach twisted. The neighborhood pulsed with movement, while he orbited its edges behind glass. "They'll forget me," he whispered. "Kid with the pencils. Wasn't he here last summer?" Even his own voice sounded thin. He shifted upright, letting the pressure in his chest rest against the wooden headboard. A faint ache threaded from the cast up his thigh. He thought of the splintering crack, the ambulance's artificial chill, how his parents' voices had splintered between worry and blame on the ride home. It felt like it had happened to someone else, someone lighter. A voice drifted from under his window, Mrs. Coleman's, clearly beckoning Mara. The girl wiped sweat from her brow and vanished inside. Oliver watched her go, the wish for a different summer burning sharp and unshakable. The walls creaked overhead, a settling house, or perhaps some new symbolic weight. Oliver added a note to his page. Mark II, add music, or color, something impossible to ignore. A crude sketch took shape, a wind chime contraption, maybe a tape recorder looping invitations. Stop by, say hi. It seemed both desperate and brilliant, and at least it occupied his hands. Hours slid by. The sun swept from one wall to the next. Outside, Theo's machine thunked, then gave a victorious clatter. Once Oliver caught Mara laughing through an open kitchen window, the sound a hazy memory as he retreated to his own sketches. His parents moved through the house in soft patterns. Groceries, laundry, a call about the neighbor's garage sale. Occasionally his mother looked in, concern muffled and habitual. Midday pressed its weight. The fan hummed, stirring warm air with little effect. Oliver tried not to wonder if the neighborhood was shifting in his absence. His sketches grew stranger. Rocket packs, scaffoldings, an enormous slingshot that could hurl him straight into someone's barbecue. The inventions edged toward fantasy, but the act of drawing loosened his fear. Sometimes he rehearsed, whispering hellos at the empty window. He knew how odd he'd look, propped up, eyes bright for any sign of company. Still, he craved it. By late afternoon, the heat had softened, the sun slipping behind streaked clouds. His mother paused at the door. We're going out for takeout. Want extra fries? Sure, Oliver said, quick to mask the relief. Don't move around too much. He nodded, listening for the sound of the car fading down the block, then traced the empty hush. No shouts from Theo, no sign of Mara. Ava lost to the hush of half-lit lawns. The world seemed suspended. Oliver stretched, body creaking. The latest sketches looked threadbare, unfinished. He tried to revise, but his lines faltered. Doubt circled. Was he already slipping from their summers, from memory? Dusk bled in. Families retreated, houses glowing from inside out. The moon slipped above the chimney, a fragile arc. Crickets started up, tentative. Oliver closed his notebook, flexing stiff fingers. The ache in his leg had settled to a familiar throb. Shadows pooled at the corners of the room. Maybe everything so far had been a rehearsal, a prelude. He swept his gaze over his scattered designs. Tomorrow needed something bigger. Not just a trick or lure, but a real shift. He opened to a blank sheet, biting the pencil. Tomorrow's plan. He let the point hover, words outpacing intention, unsure of what exactly would fill the space. Still, the energy of possibility prickled just below his skin. Something bold, something to snap the spell. A porch lamp snapped on below, throwing the sidewalk into stage-lit relief. Oliver watched, heart tightening. Maybe if he tried hard enough and built something no one could ignore, they'd finally look up. The road stayed empty. Dinner would arrive soon. He held the notebook to his chest and under his breath, yes, tomorrow. He didn't have a miracle. He had want and restlessness enough to fuel midnight schemes. The crickets began their summer song in earnest. Another porch light blinked across the road. The hush settled, thick and nearly sweet. He let the pencil fall, still clutched in his palm. Dawn would come, and with it another try, a bigger design, a nudge that might break the suburb's neat boundaries and let the world spill inside. Sketchpad balanced on his knees, Oliver closed his eyes, letting the hush thicken. He pictured himself as the center of some improbable commotion, a place for others to land. Night consumed the last blue edges of day. Tomorrow, he promised. Gripping the spiral spine, I'll find a way. He rested back, moonlight drying along the floorboards, heart restless but unbowed. There, in the evacuated calm, one last breath, carrying a hint of hope, of daring, enough to last through the dark. Oliver woke mid-morning to a blaze of sunlight, flattening the faded curtains, sweat prickling between his shoulder blades. For a moment he drifted, half caught in a dream's muddy grasp, half jolted by the realized promise of yesterday. Today, he'd make something happen. Downstairs, the rustle of his mother's routines, the fizz of toast ejecting, his father's low drone on the phone, the ordinary pulse of Saturday indifferent to his restless vow. His notebook perched within reach, the blank page trembling under his gaze. No blueprint had appeared overnight, only the same ache, stubborn and insistent, crowding his chest. Through the open window poured the suburb's morning, sprinklers ticking, mower grinding somewhere out of sight, humid air thick with cut grass, and the faint ping of heat beginning to wrinkle the roofs. Summer's machinery would trundle on, with or without him, unless he conjured a reason for someone to linger, to look up. He pressed his thumb to the paper's edge. Something tumbled loose inside. Not a plan, exactly, just a naked pulse of need that pushed itself into the room, past hope or doubt. "I wish," he breathed, barely louder than the whir of the fan, "I wish they'd all come close, just once." The bare honesty of it stung. He let the notebook fall against his chest and shut his eyes, as if he could hide from the words already loosed. Then silence thickened. The birds outside snapped to a halt, as though the air itself had paused. Even the neighbor's rusty truck, regular as sunrise, coughed and died somewhere along the block. A hush, deep, swelling, almost palpable, draped the room. Oliver sat up, blinking away the last strands of sleep. Below, the yard looked unchanged, except for a glint shivering along the curb. Sunlight doubling off the asphalt, too bright, too sharp. He pushed the window higher, cool air brushing his face. The dresser's contents shuddered, a low, rolling tremor rising beneath the planks. His baseball trophy toppled and clattered to the floor, its metal echo swallowed by a growing subterranean thunder. Oliver's heart jerked. Wide-eyed, he peered down as the lawn bulged and shifted, rippling like bread swelling in a pan. From down the street, Theo's voice broke the spell. "Something's happening." He gripped the sill and watched as the grass split, a pale froth bubbling up. First a spattering burst, thick as wet clay, then a sudden vertical jet that arced into the sun. Mara's shriek sliced the air, half wild laughter, half genuine fear. Ava stumbled from behind the hydrangeas, camera raised without thinking, snapping three shots before she even steadied her breath. The eruption slowed into a billowing heap, white, swirled with veins of dark chocolate, 100 chips studding the rising mound. It swelled, gathering itself, until a cold, minty aroma crept through the window, unmistakable, dizzying. Oliver's pulse hammered, not a trick, not a fever dream. This was here, growing with impossible patience, climbing to a peak just higher than the garden fence. The world, stunned, gathered around it. In twos and threes, children drifted closer, brave as sailors at the edge of new land. Theo advanced with a conspiratorial frown, arms planted, daring the thing to make sense. Mara circled wide, eyes sharp and hungry. Ava stood back, lens trembling, pressing the shutter again and again as if proof might anchor reality. From open doors, parents barked warnings, "Get back! Stay away!" Their commands water against a stone of collective wonder. The mound surged up, pale green now, trailing lazy rivers of sweet cream. Above the murmurs, a young voice called, "Mom! Look! Someone else. Is it real?" No adult answered, caught between horror and awe. Mara crouched, reaching with careful fingers for a dripping edge, pausing as her own hand hovered, just short of touch. Oliver's breath locked. Could they see him, pinned behind glass? Did they know? Would they imagine this started with him? The ice cream mountain slouched toward the sidewalk, a curl like soft serve falling, as if unsure whether to balloon higher or collapse in surrender. Ava lifted her gaze at last, searching the upper windows. Theo shouted, "Oliver, you up there?" While Mara shaded her eyes to scan the glass until she spotted the slim shape at the sill. He swallowed, lips dry. Tried on courage. "Yeah, I'm here." His voice cracked with the effort. Warmth rushed to his face. For a heartbeat, all eyes swung upward. A cheer, not wild but sudden bright, rose in reply, followed by an uncertain hush. "Come down," called someone bold, but as quick as it rose, the invitation faltered. Oliver's cast gleamed in the sunlight, a mute tether anchoring him to the upstairs world. The fact of his immobility hung obvious between them. His father burst into the room, breaking the tension with abrupt adult panic. "You see this?" He strode to the window, eyes wide. "Jesus, Oliver! What in?" He trailed off, the words too small for what sprawled below. Oliver's mother hovered behind, clutching her phone as if it might conjure logic or help. "We should call someone," she whispered, struggling for composure. His father shrugged hollowly. "Let's see how it plays out. No one's hurt. then quietly to Oliver, "You doing all right?" "I'm okay," Oliver managed, though he knew the claim wobbled. Did he want this? Did he dare to claim it? His chest ached with the question. Below, the swirl had steadied, no longer erupting skyward, but flexing under the sun. Mara drew close, audacious now, pressed her palm to the surface, and snatched it back, surprised by its icy firmness. Theo scraped a clump, eyes scanning for machinery, trying to deconstruct the impossible. Ava knelt, framing photos, her smile a mix of bafflement and delight. Around them, the small circle of children grew, parents posted at the periphery, unable to break the gravitational pull. Mara peered upward, voice pitching over the commotion. "Oliver, you seeing this? Did you?" She hesitated, hope and accusation balanced. Theo waved both hands above his head. "Is this your idea?" Oliver had no answer. His heart rattled against his ribs. He'd asked, and the world had answered. Above the chaos, he simply nodded, letting them infer what they would, half afraid to say more. More neighbors spilled onto their lawns. Someone in the back called, "Oliver, what now?" 11 months of being ghosted by busyness, suddenly inverted. All through the street, the focus narrowed toward him, pressed and waiting. He leaned out, every nerve lit. "Just hold on," he hollered, surprising himself with the command. "Don't get too close. We gotta test it out first." "Do we eat it?" A kid piped up, eyeing a semi-solid chunk with greedy suspicion. A laugh rippled through the crowd, braided with worry. "Don't," a parent called, not quite believing. "Not till we know what it is." Theo dug at the base with a stick, sending a spray of chips skittering across the grass. Mara silenced him with a swat. "Wait," she called up, a grin flashing through her caution. "What now, boss?" It hung there, assumption of his lead, as though he'd always held this place. The street, the world, tipped toward him for direction. Ava, camera lowered, gazed up, brow furrowed, a question poised but unsaid. Oliver steadied himself, pressed both hands to the glass, and let the moment settle. His leg throbbed, sweat traced under his shirt. For the first time all summer, the ache of separation thinned, replaced by something like stewardship. He called, "Mara, Theo, Ava, keep everyone back for a sec. Let's see if it holds. No climbing yet." Mara squared her shoulders. "Got it. Everybody listen up." She fanned her arms, her presence claiming the role without dispute. Theo flashed a fast look of grudging admiration, then barked orders with her, bouncing nervous energy into purpose. Ava hovered by the edge, watching Oliver for a cue. A tremor shuddered through the mound, a warning or an invitation. Half-melted cream pooled at its base, chips jostled free, tumbling into the grass. Oliver's mind spun. Was it stable or soft through the center? Could it take weight? And underneath, the sharper edge, how had he summoned this at all? "Everyone, hold tight," he called. "Let's not rush. Nobody wants a sticky disaster." Laughter flickered, more alive now than nervous. Mara caught his eye, gave a quick, fierce nod that held more faith than he'd earned. For the briefest second, the grip of his cast loosened. The street below shimmered, expectation breathing in and out with every face turned up. He glanced at his crowded notebook, schemes suddenly quaint beside the impossible rising in his yard. Still, this, leadership, responsibility, had not existed without them. He would shoulder it, for as long as the morning let him. A lone voice from the back, small, uncertain, called, "Oliver, what do we do now?" The need in it was clear. Not command, but connection. He straightened, letting the future coil around him, sweet and dangerous. "We figure it out together," he said, voice carrying. They came in waves, kids from every crooked sidewalk and shaded porch, forming an improvised brigade, itching to test the ice cream marvel in the Bennett's yard. Some dragged towels and battered sleds, others arrived wielding ropes, trowels, or shovels, as if raiding garages was the price of admission. At first, a hush gripped the gathering, the sort that comes just before the start of a game. Everyone measuring the swirl of mint green and volcanic chocolate, no one daring to make the first move. "Let's see how high we can go," Theo called, rooting through a pile of warped lumber by the driveway. His usual bravado was muffled today, half-forced, a role he wore uneasily. He pried up a warped 2x4 and tested its bend, knuckles whitening, then squinted at the slope. "We could wedge some steps in. Get a ladder started if it'll hold." Mara cocked an eyebrow. "Depends if the whole thing turns to soup under our weight," she said, scanning for the best angle up the glossy mound. Doubt flickered, but it didn't slow her. She moved along the edge, knees steady, issuing orders to a shifting pod of younger kids. Clear the loose stuff, or someone's gonna faceplant. The smaller ones obeyed, collecting stray chips and puddling drips before they could slick the street. Ava hung at the periphery, camera ready, gaze skittish. She tracked the scene as if she were afraid moving too fast might break the spell. But when the little ones edged too close to danger, she set down her lens, quick and unassuming, shepherding them back without ever raising her voice. Her quiet was resolute, the sort people mistook for shyness until things got precarious. Upstairs, Oliver pressed his palms to the paint-streaked sill. Each inhalation felt bright, hot, a pulse of nervous energy that left him flushed and a little dazed. Wish made real, the world scrambled below, and a strange responsibility now trailed every heartbeat. For an instant, he longed for distance. Then Mara's laugh salted the air, and all he could taste was longing to belong to whatever game would follow. Theo pounded a rung into the slope, elbow stiff and jaw set, but the plank simply oozed deeper, melting its seat. He yanked it free, splotched with mint and fudge, and let slip a muttered curse. "It's just soft as pudding. Need firmer ground," he snapped, masking frustration with volume. "Try from the shady side, it's holding better." Mara didn't wait. She gripped the mound with both hands and hauled up, feet searching for a grip. She slipped, nearly pitched sideways, but a younger kid, small, silent, steadied her knee. Mara shot him a rare, grateful grin, then scanned for something solid beneath her sneaker. "Here, try carving steps with the spade, slow and steady." She planted herself, anchoring the effort. A ripple of enthusiasm passed through the crowd. Trowels flashed, carving a rough, winding route upward while cheers swelled, small at first, then bounding across the lawn, washing away the last reserves of caution. Along the fence, parents repeated standard warnings. "Not so high! Careful, that's slippery!" But the resistance was half-hearted, the spectacle eroding adult logic. Oliver felt a pulse tighten behind his eyes. The closer the kids pressed to the cone's flanks, the more he sensed something drawing on him, some tether between their hopes and the feverish heat in his chest. He focused on Mara, acutely aware of her waver atop a precarious ledge. He narrowed his thoughts, wanted the ice firmer, safer beneath her. A shiver, barely physical, passed through him. Beneath her feet, the color deepened, mint swirling dense and glassy. Mara frowned at the change, then pressed on, taking well-earned luck as her due. On the far side, a shout, "Hey, check this out!" Elijah, always the scavenger, unearthed a dense chunk of chocolate as big as a basketball, wedged against the shed's corner. The boulder's surface was veined and glossy, the sweating fat beads in the sunlight. Now and then it slid, scraping a warning into the shed's brittle planks. Ava's camera fell against her chest. "That thing falls, it'll crush the wall, or somebody." She pulled a toddler behind her, shielding him from the groan of shifting chocolate. Oliver's breath snagged, pain pulsed down his injured leg. Ideas darted. If the kids tried to shift it, disaster would follow. But maybe, just maybe, the same will that shored up Mara's foothold could divert ruin again. He inhaled, long, slow, concentrating as if squeezing everything to a single narrow thread. He pictured the chocolate not as threat, but as something tractable, soft, yielding, safe. Eyes shut, he chased the image, the boulder sagging, melting just enough to wedge flat against the mound. The ache in his head swelled, hot as fever. A hush pooled around him. Blood rang in his ears. Below, Mara reached the kids clustered at the danger zone, signaling them back with a sweep of her arm. "Just don't mess with it yet. Wait," she barked. As if on cue, the chocolate boulder let out a hiss. Steam puffed at the edges, cocoa laced the air. Melted runnels trickled across the grass as the boulder's bottom began to sag, its bulk drawn downward into the mound's shoulder. Oliver's focus held, barely. His vision bobbed, fire raced along his arms. The pain ratcheted higher, stinging behind his eyes. He bit down hard, metallic taste blooming. Below, the chocolate's wall slouched, the mass flattening until it lay innocuous, hugging the ground. The shed shuddered, but held. Parent voices circled, half in relief, half searching for an explanation. Theo stretched out a tentative finger, glancing covertly up at Oliver's window before digging a trench and smearing his hand thick with fudge. "It's safe. Let's move it," he said, voice uncertain. A knot of kids fell to shoulder, shoving the boulder free. It left behind no hint of menace, just a sticky trail and a surge of victorious whoops. Even the adults clapped, the dread forgotten in the rush of shared relief. Oliver blinked, spots of red flickering in his sight. He touched his nose and came away with blood striped along his fingers. Lightheaded, throat raw, he sagged onto the bed, the room suddenly swimming. Everything below went on without him, their shouts muffled through the glass. Outside, Mara and Theo slapped palms. Ava crouched with her camera, but lingered after the shot. Her lens traced the quiet side of triumph, maybe searching for what went unseen. Younger kids filled buckets with dribbled chocolate, their alliances forged in the afterglow of luck won and disaster averted. No one saw Oliver settle into blankness, the yard too alive, the mountain's lure irresistible. For a little while at least, nobody needed to look up. Their celebration, dense and sweet as ice cream itself, soaked the lengthening afternoon. Delight lingered in a sticky haze, children glinting with sweat and mint, sloshing barefoot through the churned lawn as if the whole block had split open for their private festival. Mara perched watchful and taut at the slope's rim, voice slicing through the scramble whenever a kid veered near a fissure. Theo moved with his usual brash intent, hammering slats into the melting flanks, testing and discarding ideas as failure demanded. Ava hovered along the edge, an undercurrent of calm, steady hands guiding small ones back when excitement edged toward disaster. Even the parents, bewildered but half-charmed, stood elbowed together, their warnings spent, curiosity pressing them closer than caution allowed. Upstairs, Oliver cataloged it all from his shadowy window, the scene below swimming at the margins of his vision. Dizziness clung, blood dried tight beneath his nose. The air was thick and sweet, swirling with warmth and fatigue. Behind him, his father's voice threaded the stifling room. "What's actually happening down there?" "Still under control," Oliver managed. "We're checking the stability. Nobody's hurt." He tried for conviction, but the room spun. His mother crossed to his side, wringing her hands. "Enough, Oliver, please. This has gone on long enough. It's not safe. That thing's going to collapse." "Just a little longer," he said. "They're so close." Outside, a groaning crack spidered across the cone's side, splitting boards Theo had wedged moments before. A wash of half-melted ice cream sluiced onto the pavement, splattering calves and ankles. Screams pinwheeled through the crowd, some wild, some split by fear. "Back! Everyone back!" Mara bellowed, arms outstretched as if she could shield the lot of them. She waded into the slick, muscles tight, brow furrowed in calculation. Theo darted for his makeshift ramps, yanking free slats already threatening to vanish in the slough. "That plank, over here!" he barked to a pair of teens hesitating at the fringe. Ava's calm peeled open into alarm. "Little ones, move now!" she called, snapping her fingers to punctuate the order. The world compressed. Oliver swayed, pressure blooming at his temples. The old presence, that blurred, electric charge. He shut out everything but the shifting mound and what lay taut and invisible between his will and its melt. If he could just tighten that thread, if he could keep the cracks from running, maybe they could fix the rest. He closed his eyes, banishing even his mother's pallid stare. For an instant he found purchase. The ice shimmered to a tense standstill. The slope settled, Mara steadying on its stiffened crust. Theo stared, confusion bumping war with relief. The youngest kids began to creep forward, crowding the edge. The moment snapped. Oliver's vision blurred, sinuses burning, the strength sluiced out, impossible to knot a second time. Speak, cracks widened, the mint swirl splitting into twin avalanches, ribbons of chocolate and cream washed across the grass. Parent voices spiked, sharper now, laced with fear. "Back up! Watch it!" Gone was the breathless wonder, replaced by a scramble for footing. His father's hand landed on his forehead. "You're done. That's it. Please, just a minute," Oliver managed. Below, Mara's eyes snapped to Theo and Ava. She gestured toward the upended picnic table, lips moving quick. Theo nodded. Together with Ava, they flipped the bench and wrestled it toward the breach, using its bulk to stem the flow before it reached the street. Beyond, a father stretched a coiled hose across the lawn, spraying arcs of water to keep chocolate from congealing in the sidewalk cracks. Parents barked commands, hands grasping shoulders, forming a thin boundary against the thickening chaos. A deep shuddering crack ricocheted from inside the mound, chocolate chips bursting free and skittering down in an ominous rattle. The collective thrill shifted, children shrinking back, even Theo's bravado dulled to anxious focus. Sunlight sloped lower, each beam catching sliding cream and churning the ruins to a surreal gold. Mara's voice cut above the din.
Seriously, get back!
Sweat striped her cheek, her voice broke on the second word. Oliver pressed both palms to the sill, blinking against the dark fuzz at the edge of his gaze. All his sketches had pointed toward this moment. Teeth gritted, he fixed his mind on the fissure, will brace to knit the crumbling breach. Pain crashed through his skull, staggering him back. Blood welled anew from his nostril. Still he tried, seeing Mara, then Theo, then all of them, hoping for some infusion of luck. Outside, Mara dropped to a knee, mud streaking her jeans, eyes trained on the failing mound. She glanced up and caught Oliver's silhouette, lifting a hand toward him in mute encouragement, a flicker of defiance, neither signal nor surrender, something fiercely loyal between the two. One last effort, Oliver told himself. Just enough. Then the wind rose, odd and sudden, a whip through splayed napkins and abandoned towels. Above the cone, dark chocolate chips tore loose in a silent black swarm, circling upward faster and faster, until they spun in a rising spiral. For a breath, all noise held, children transfixed, parents aghast, the entire street straining toward the impossible. The chip spiral hung above the wrecked mound, catching late-day sun, thousands of pieces ticking in a gilded helix. The air thickened, perfumed with a warmth richer than any kitchen. A low, swelling rumble rolled beneath the spectacle, soundless pressure at first, then almost musical. Theo ducked behind the barricade, Mara standing tall at the rim, Ava's camera trembling before her eyes, all caught between recoil and wonder. His parents stood frozen by the bed, torn between hauling him from the scene and cleaving to the nearest comfort. Outside, time locked, children small beneath a circling aurora, adults blinking as dusk poured across suburban fences. The spiral tightened, chips clustering nearer the tip of what remained of the cone. One last chorus of gasps rippled out, kids tensing, adults gripping shoulders, every eye drawn upward. Oliver's heart clawed in his chest. He'd passed the limit. The magic, or whatever force he'd borrowed, turned heedless as a flood. In the instant before everything broke, the spiral flared, a dark corona etched with gold, then paused, held in fragile hush. Every hope and threat collapsed into that breathless stillness, and all eyes waited on the first shiver of release. The spiral burst in a thousand pieces. No warning, just the sharp staccato of chocolate chips raining through evening light. What began in a hush cracked into riot. The first chip struck roofs, arms, and startled faces, sparking shrieks that almost instantly spun into laughter. The cascade drifted over lawns and sidewalks, glinting in the late sun, each glossy shard twirling with a fine, fragrant dust of sugar. Children seized the moment, heads tipped skyward, catching chocolate on tongues and outstretched hands. Even the parents, stranded between worry and wonder, looked up, faces unguarded as the world tipped toward the improbable. At the open window, Oliver pressed his palm to the glass, sweat cooling where blood had dried under his nose. Everything, the ache in his leg, the drag of fatigue, blurred beneath the sight of the block transformed. Where fear had threatened collapse, joy had arrived instead. Neighbors tangled in sugar and marvel, friends unspooling laughter and disbelief. He sensed his mother before she spoke. Her hand hovered at his elbow, touch tentative. "Look at them," she whispered, voice fracturing between nerves and pride. "I can't believe what you did." His father slid an arm behind his shoulders, steady and reluctant to let go. "Hope you're planning to invent a new mop for the kitchen, champ," he tried, relief undercutting the joke. Oliver managed a crooked smile. "Could be worse. At least nobody's melting in the street." From below came a surge of hollers, Mara leading the charge. "Oliver, get out here! We need the wizard himself!" Even winded, her voice carried, stubbornly alive. Theo joined, dropping his half-wrecked plank with a squelch.
"Yeah,
you've got to see this up close, man. Seriously." Around them, more voices echoed, rising from scattered clusters of sticky, chocolate-splattered kids. "I need to be there," Oliver said quietly to his parents. "Wheelchair works. I'll take all the bruises." With practice teamwork, his parents guided him from bed to chair and down the cramped hallway. The front door opened onto twilight chaos, splashes of mint streaking the grass, kids ankle-deep in puddles, neighbors blinking among upended yard chairs. For a heartbeat, the world paused to see Oliver roll into view. Mara shot up, fist in the air. Theo let loose a soaring cheer, not for the spectacle, but for Oliver, present and visible. Theo, mud from forehead to chin, offered a hand sticky with chocolate. "You missed peak madness," he said. "Glad you survived," Oliver replied. Mara bounded to his wheel, half jubilant, half spent. "You pulled this off," she said, voice hoarse with effort. Ava, delicate as ever, pressed a cool napkin to his jaw, clearing away stubborn stickiness. "Come on, Oliver, we can't have a victory lap without you." Her smile trembled with pride. Theo dug into a bucket of melting spoils and pressed a dripping swirl into Oliver's palm. "Taste test, king's privilege." Oliver hesitated only a beat, then ate. Frost shocked his tongue, chocolate bittersweet. The bite unfurled memories of humid nights and hedge-thrown laughter. "Perfect," he said, and the word was enough. Mara crowed, Theo clapped his back. Parents drifted toward the porch. One mother, shirt stained at the shoulder, called out, "Next time, Oliver, warn us if you're planning another disaster." Her smile, wry and full of thanks, met his eyes. In it, he recognized a glimmer he'd never earned from adults before. Respect, or maybe just honest awe. As the last rays slid from the street, Mara flopped down next to Oliver's wheel. "Think you'll ever top this," she teased. "Only if I can draft everyone in for cleanup." Ava's smile went soft. "Least you didn't keep this to yourself," she said. "Magic's no fun without anybody to see it," he replied. "Guess I needed you all as much as you needed this." Mara gave his hand a quick, sugar-streaked squeeze. "Tomorrow," she said, "I'm coming early. We can rescue what's left. Build a wall 10 times better, and if any chips survive the night, they're yours. Deal." As night pressed in and porch lights snapped on, the crowd thinned. Parents beckoning tired children, neighbors exchanging promises about helping restore the lawn. Oliver felt the weight in his bones, the satisfied heaviness that followed effort well spent. His mother drifted over and touched his shoulder. "You need rest," she said. No tacky worry left, only gentleness. His friends lingered at the steps, silhouettes gold-edged by the house lights. Mara called, "Save us some dreams, Oliver." He raised a hand, a gesture broad and clumsy and more eloquent than any word. Inside, the hush of suburbia pressed close. Distant crickets, sleepy televisions behind half-shut blinds, the low hum of the air conditioner chasing the last sugar-thick air from the hall. Propped on the couch, Oliver exhaled, slow, unguarded, letting the calm draw him under. Night had folded itself around the Bennett house before Oliver stirred, thirst nagging beneath layered fatigue. The only light in the room came from a bedside lamp, soft and gilding the battered notebook, the shorn pencils, the skewed baseball trophy, all detritus of an afternoon that still pressed its strangeness into every corner. Through the window, a faint breeze slid in, thick with cut grass. Underpinned by the pulse of distant crickets and the faint backbeat of a car radio idling somewhere past the fences, the world outside felt washed in vanilla and memory. He shifted, hesitating between calling out for water or attempting a slow, lopsided foray into the hall. Light footsteps answered first. His mother appeared, eyes shiny but sleepless, and handed him a glass. "Hungry, mostly," he told her after a sip. "Speak." She returned with a sandwich, a smear of ice cream model still on her jeans. She set it on a nest of crumpled sketches but asked no questions, simply smoothing his hair before retreating. A sharp hoot broke the stillness, followed by a slow flash of light outside. Oliver fumbled for his flashlight and sent 2 bright pulses through the screen. Across the yard, 3 flashes replied, "Ava." Another brief beam was Mara's laugh made visible. Theo's impatience sweeping wide arcs. No words, just presence. His father padded in, hair rumpled. "Little late for Morse code, don't you think?" "Almost done," Oliver said. "They're just there." "I always wanted this for you," his father murmured. "Not the cast or the madness, just a center, someone to answer back." He tapped Oliver's forehead. "Don't forget that's worth just as much tomorrow as it was today. Alone again." Oliver sketched a contraption to harness leftover chocolate into a neighborhood sky sculpture, adding a note, "No solo launches, must build together." Relief seeped through him. The ache in his bones was a small price for camaraderie that outlasted daylight. From the periphery, 4 bright flashes, likely a good night, winked out. His mother peeked in. "I saw them leave," she whispered. "They looked up, just wanted to be sure you were okay. Still here." Ask for help before the next mountain, all right?
I will, Scout's honor.
She drifted away, leaving the door ajar. Porch lights dimmed, crickets kept metronomic time. He let himself drift, imagining morning chores and piecing together remnants of the ruined spectacle with Mara, Theo, and Ava. For once, he wasn't bracing for absence. He flicked off the lamp, settling beneath the quilt's weight. From the street, a last flashlight blink, goodbye or dare for tomorrow, then surrendered to the dark. Oliver closed his eyes, content to let the feeling expand until it held every corner of the room. Outside, the breeze rearranged the hush, carrying suggestions of what might come next. The yard, battered and impossibly sweet, awaited dawn's repair and reinvention. But the spell held, a boundary broken, a season remade, a promise writ in sugar, laughter, and the unspoken assurance of company that would not ebb with the tide of night. Oliver Bennett slept, shoulders unbowed, heart unguarded, borne onward by the fragile, lasting magic of belonging. Thank you for choosing a story publishing.